I wonder what it is that you fear more than anything else in life. What are your greatest fears? According to one recent survey, here are the top five things that people most fear in life. See if you can pick them by their names. Glossophobia is the most common fear of all people around the world. It is the fear of public speaking, the fear of standing up in front of others and speaking to them. The second most common fear is acrophobia, which is fear of heights. The third most common fear, entomophobia, is a word I hadn't heard before. Insects, someone got it, well done. Fear of bugs and insects. Fourth most common fear, aquaphobia. There's a hint there, isn't there? Water, or specifically drowning, a fear of drowning. And number five, trypanophobia, which is a fear of, any nurses here? There are. Needles. And there's no needles in that picture that you can see, so I made sure of that one. These are the most common fears that people have, and maybe you tick one or more of those boxes. What is it that you particularly fear in your life? We live in an age and a society where it seems like there is more fear among people than ever before. People are afraid about all sorts of things in life and culture. We live in a world that fuels fear in people. Yesterday, it felt like it was a national day of fear, as we waited nervously and anxiously to work out what on earth was going to happen. That fear about what these fires might do, how high, how far they might spread. A fear about the kind of destruction to property and lives that might come. It was a significant day of fear across our nation. Of course, there are so many things that we fear in our culture. There's a fear about what's going to happen with the economy or the housing market. People have fears about how we're going to put food on the table. You might fear about your health or safety. You might fear for the lives of those whom you love. What might happen to your children or grandchildren? There are so many things in life that we might fear. We are in a series that we've called What If, where we are asking the questions, what if life were different? What if there was a better way to live than the way I'm currently living? And today we're asking the question, what if I could have no fear? Or what if fear was so removed from my life it just wasn't there anymore? What if you had such confidence you could stand in front of a room and speak and not care what anyone thought? What if you had no fear about your health or safety whatsoever in your life? What if you had no fear for those whom you love and weren't weighed down by a fear of what might happen to them? What if you had no fear about how you might put food on the table? What if you had no fear in your life? This morning I want to show you that it might be more possible than you realize. It might actually be possible to remove fear in your life. This morning we're going to start by clarifying what we mean when we talk about fear, and then we will see, what does God have to speak into the fears that we have? How does God speak to our fears? So why do we fear? Well, we fear what we cannot control or cannot understand. If you were here last week, Robbie answered the question for us, what if I was in control? And we thought about how there is a connection between fear and control. So much of what we fear is simply because we cannot control it. We lack control of events in our lives. I mean, I spent half of yesterday sitting, listening to the radio and watching the Rural Fire Service updates, seeing what was happening across our country and particularly where I have friends and family. And no doubt many of you were doing that as well. There is a real fear at that time because you know the fires are everywhere and you can't do anything about them. There is no control. And the fear comes because we can't do anything about it. The fear is because we are not in control. We also lack a control about the way other people might respond to us. I think one of the reasons why so many of us fear public speaking is because you cannot control what people think of you. When you make a mistake, you can't control how people might react. And the fear is that you can't navigate that. You can't control it. It is out of your hands. We fear what we cannot control. But we also fear what we cannot understand. We lack an understanding of the future. It's an unknown to us. Whatever the best plans we might have, the future is unknown. And we have a fear of the unknown. We also fear when we don't understand other people. This happens in lots of different ways. It happens generationally. Maybe you fear young people because they use strange words. Yeet or on fleek. And you have no idea what they're talking about. And you hear them speaking and you think, I have no idea. I don't understand this. And so I fear them because I don't get the next generation. The truth is, your parents' generation thought the same about yours. We fear people from different generations because they have grown up in a different world to us. They think differently, and we don't understand why they do all the things they do. It's also why we fear people from other cultures. Whatever culture you're from, when you meet someone from a different culture, there is a fear because you don't understand their language, maybe. Perhaps you hear them speaking in their native tongue. And your fear rises because you don't know what they're talking about. They might be talking about you. It's always a fear, isn't it? Or you fear the customs that they adopt because you don't quite understand them either. Why do they do those things? Why do they eat that? Why do they do that with their families? When we lack an understanding of somebody, it is much easier to fear them. We fear what we cannot control. And we fear what we do not understand. It'd be helpful at this point to define a little bit about what we mean by fear and speaking about the types of fear. We've been using the word fear, and fear is very simply about the immediate emotional response you have to a real or perceived threat. So something's about to happen and you're really afraid of it right now. There's another word we might use. We talk about anxiety. And typically, fear is about the immediate threat, and anxiety is about a future threat. Fear is what you feel in that moment when something really bad is about to happen to you, or might happen to you. Anxiety is that feeling of dread about the future and something really bad might happen to you. So they're fairly tightly connected, but one is particularly thinking about the here and now, the other about the future. I'm going to use them somewhat interchangeably as we speak about them this morning. Now, as we think about types of fear, there are three particular ways we might think about fear and anxiety. There is, first of all, the good fear and anxiety. This is the fear and anxiety that kicks in as a bit of a survival instinct for you. So when you see a fire coming at you, your fear of that fire leads you to run in the opposite direction. That's a good fear. It's helping you protect your life. A good anxiety might be that you knew 2 days earlier the fire was coming. And so in that anxiety about what's going to happen, you pack your bags, you prepare your house, you get things ready for a future event to come. That's a good anxiety to have that helps you prepare well for keeping you and your families safe and healthy. Then, of course, there is bad fear and anxiety. And normally when we think about removing fear, this is the kind of thing we're thinking about. The bad fear and anxieties are those things that typically stem from our own creation. That we've put ourselves in a particular position, or we've made a really dumb decision, and it's led us to feelings of fear and anxiety. And we kind of put ourselves there. That fear as you're shoplifting and walking out the store that you might get caught, that's a fear that you ought not have, because you shouldn't be shoplifting. That fear or anxiety that you might get caught cheating on your spouse, you've got there from a really dumb decision. And that fear or anxiety ought not be there, but of course you ought not be cheating on your spouse. Or the fear or anxiety that comes from a gambling debt that you don't know how you're going to pay. Again, it's a decision that you have made, put yourself into, that's welled up this fear and anxiety within you. And again, it ought not be there. It's a bad fear. It's a bad anxiety. There is a third type, what we might call clinical anxiety. This is the prolonged, debilitative kind of anxiety that's a physiological condition. We often talk about this as kind of a mental health in that space. Now, I need to say that clinical anxiety is a far more complex form of fear and anxiety than the first two. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not even going to pretend to be a doctor this morning. Clinical anxiety is much more than a theological issue. It needs medical professionals. But clinical anxiety is not less than a theological issue. There is something the Bible says about clinical anxiety that speaks into that world. And this morning, we are not doing a theology of mental health. We could do that another time. Oh, yeah, great thing to do. We're not going to particularly be doing that this morning, though. I hope what you will see as we look at God's Word is that there are some things that speak into even those of you who are challenged in that way. But we're going to be particularly thinking through how we might respond to the fears and anxieties that rise up in our lives from time to time. And in particular, the bad fears and the bad anxieties. Well, they're the ones that we really want to remove from our lives. So how do we not fear? What if I had no fear? How do we get to a place where that happens? Well, if good fear is part of our survival instincts, the fear that we really dream of removing is the fear that is the bad kind, the one that works against the ways that God created and designed us to live, the fear that stops us from dreaming big, the fear that stops us from taking risks and doing more, the fear that stops us from stressing less. And this is exactly what Jesus speaks of in Matthew 6. If you've got a Bible, it'd be great to have it open with me. Matthew 6, from verse 25. Let's walk through this together. Verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" This is Jesus saying, God gave you life. He gave you a body. He knows what you need. And if God can give you life and he can give you a body, then he can give you much simpler things like food. Verse 26. "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." It's some examples that Jesus then gives of how God cares for even the smallest details of creation, for flowers and birds. And again, he made your body, he gave you life. He cares for birds and flowers. How much more will he care which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Notice that Jesus implies the kind of fear and anxiety he's speaking of is a faith issue. It is a fear that comes from a lack of trust in God to keep his promises. This might be another type of bad anxiety or fear. That fear that God won't keep the promises that he has made. That feeling that God has abandoned you. The fear that you have that he has. Verse 31. "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' Or 'What shall we drink?' Or 'What shall we wear?'" Jesus basically repeats where he started in verse 25. And in verse 32, he says, "For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." A Gentile is someone who is not Jewish. It was their way of saying anyone who doesn't follow God. We might say someone who's not yet a Christian. Now, in all of this so far, Jesus has simply told his listeners, do not be anxious. So what should they do instead? Or what is the opposite thing to do instead of being anxious? You might expect Jesus to say something like, be courageous. Face your fears. Don't lose heart. Be bold. Have no fear. He doesn't say any of those. Instead, Jesus says something that at first I think sounds really strange. What should you do instead of being anxious? Verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Do not be anxious, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Instead of seeking food or drink or clothing, Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God first. Seek God's way of life. Seek a life that honors and pleases God before yourself. Because when you pursue God first, when you pursue all that God has for you, you will quickly find that so much of what you and I fear at the moment, it actually doesn't need to be feared. When we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we learn that most of the things that we fear, we actually do not need to fear them. So much of what we do fear is only because we focus on ourselves. Yeah, whether it's about what will I eat? What will I drink? What will I wear? What will I say standing up in front of everyone? What happens if I fall from that great height? What will they do to me? How will I fix this or stop that? So much of what we fear is because we are focused firstly on ourselves. Jesus' command is to seek first the kingdom of God, to put your effort and your attention into knowing who God is, to knowing how he created and designed you to live. To instead of being ambitious for your own comfort, being ambitious for your own desires, your own needs, to be ambitious instead by pursuing God's design for your life and for the lives of those around you. Our church mission that we've adopted is, we've said we want to grow people who know Jesus, who treasure Jesus, who depend on Jesus, and who represent Jesus. Now that third one, we want to depend on Jesus. It certainly captures how we want to be a deeply prayerful church. But depending on Jesus is more than just about prayer. It also means depending on Jesus for us to be bold and courageous in our actions. being ambitious in seeking first God's kingdom, in seeking the flourishing of our city, in seeking to do far more than humanly we would be able to do, because we know that God is powerful. We know that He loves us. And we know that this is how He created and designed us to live. To be bold and courageous in seeking first His kingdom. How do we not fear? Do not be anxious, but seek first God's kingdom. Because when you seek first God's kingdom, it changes your perspective on the things that you currently fear. You realize the things that don't matter so much anymore. You're relieved of them. Do not be anxious, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know what makes a good marriage? A good marriage is a relationship where you can be dangerously open and vulnerable with your spouse. Where they know so much information about you personally that if they wanted to, they could destroy your life. But the reason you can be so dangerously open and vulnerable with them is because you know they won't destroy your life. Because you know that they love you. You know they won't use all their knowledge of you against you. Because they love you in spite of who you are, even at your worst. Which allows you to be dangerously open and vulnerable. And when you have a marriage like that, or maybe even a friendship, you feel more able to push yourself in other areas of your life, to take new risks, to try new things, to give of yourself to others in service. Because you know, if it all goes pear-shaped, and if it fails miserably, you know that your spouse or your friend will still be there to pick up the pieces of you and put you back together. And when you feel so loved like that, you are able to be bold and courageous and do so much more. Because you know you have a very firm rock you can depend on. And this leads us to our second reading this morning in 1 John. Let me read just a few verses from 1 John 4. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is so, also are we in this world. And verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Fear has to do with punishment. This is the bad kind of fear that comes from being caught in the wrong. And it's all the more true that you should fear being caught in the wrong by God than you should by another human. But you should only fear that if you do not already know and understand the way that God has already loved you in Jesus. If you don't already understand that God knows you at your worst and He has still loved you. If you know that, you have no need to fear God. You have no need to fear His judgment. How do you not fear? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Fear is removed by knowing just how much you are loved by God, in spite of who you are at your worst. How much you are loved in spite of your sin. in spite of your disobedience, in spite of your unfaithfulness. You need not fear, because God knows your deepest, darkest secrets, and He still loves you for all that you are. And when you know that you are loved by God in this way, it drives out all fear. But knowing you are loved by God in this way, it means you're not afraid for people to know the real you. And even sometimes to be rejected by others. Because you know God knows the real you and He still loves you. And that will never change. Knowing you are loved by God in this way means you no longer feel embarrassment. Because you don't feel the need to control what others might think of you. And you don't even worry about what they think of you. Because you know what God thinks of you. And that will never change. And knowing you are loved by God in this way means you aren't afraid of the future. Because you know that God is loving and in control and infinitely wiser than you or I. Knowing you are loved by God this way means you don't need to be defensive around those who are different from you. But instead, you can appreciate people from different cultures, different generations, and even different political persuasions. That we are all made in God's image, and we all have much to learn from each other because of it. Knowing you're loved by God this way means you're not afraid to talk about Jesus with others, because He is such sweet and wonderful news to you. Why would you not? Knowing you are loved by God this way means you have no fear of death, because you have a sure and certain hope of eternal life, because Jesus has given up His life for you already. What if you had no fear in your life? All of that bad fear, all of that bad anxiety was removed from your life. Sounds good, doesn't it? And it's actually very possible to remove every kind of unhealthy fear. But not by trying hard to be really brave. No, it's only possible by knowing and understanding all the more just how loved you are by God in Jesus. Because what could you possibly fear when you know that the God who made the entire universe and every single thing in it, the God who holds all of it in the palm of His hand, when the God who gave up His Son to die on a cross in your place and for your sin, when you know that He has such a deep love for you that no sin you commit, no mistake you make, no failure that you feel, no embarrassment you experience, that nothing can separate you or I from the love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much that You have a love for us beyond anything we could comprehend or imagine. We thank You that You know our deepest, darkest secrets. You know our sin, our flaws, our failures, our mistakes. And You still sent Jesus to die for us. Father, help us to all the more know and experience the wonderful love that You have for each one of us. Father, help us to experience the joy of being freed of fear in this world, because we know that You love us and we know that You are in control. God, help us to live bold and courageous lives who are willing to take risks to seek first the kingdom and to help others to do the same, because we know that You have loved us first. Amen.